This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Davos Group is gathered there in Davos, Switzerland. And Klaus Schwab, the founder and head of the board of Davos, is delivering a message through Time Magazine to tell us a call for global cooperation in the intelligent age. He said the 21st century is so far being defined by its dramatic leap in intelligent technologies, a leap that has brought humanity into an era, he said, I call the intelligent age, in which large segments of global society now have access to unprecedented technologies, intelligence. These technologies are becoming deeply ingrained in our everyday lives and changing the world at the most profound individual and international levels. Artificial intelligence, he said, is unsurprisingly the linchpin of this transformation. The surge of technological development comes not surprisingly at the same time that the world is grappling, he said, with global challenges that demand our immediate and collective attention and action. AI is empowering us beyond the limitations of our natural human cognition. Really? Well, today on Viewpoint, we're going to explore this business of AI, and that doesn't mean artificial insemination. It means artificial intelligence. He says the geopolitical implications are profound. Indeed, he is right. And today we're going to take a look at some of the advantages and disadvantages of AI. In fact, our president, Donald J. Trump, has just announced a massive $500 billion investment by some of the chief technological experts in the world, some of the richest in the world, to put together a massive, massive computer, the world's greatest and largest, to advance the cause of artificial intelligence in America. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Is it dangerous? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that here on Viewpoint today. And I'm so glad that you joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And this business of AI, if you're anything like me and you're not a technological expert, you really may have a bit of confusion as to this whole business of AI. What in the world is it? What does it mean? What can it do? What doesn't it do? What are its dangers? The benefits as opposed to the detriments? We're going to take a look at a lot of that here on the program today, and hopefully this will be both educational and perhaps also transformational. You say, I'm not going to transform you by AI. No, we're not going to do that. And to my knowledge, we don't use AI here in the production of this program or delivery of this program, although I cannot tell you what the satellite agency that airs this program does. But as far as I know, we're not using AI. We're not using anything artificial. We're using something that is human and that is connected, hopefully, spiritually, but not artificially. You see, in reality, artificial information, artificial intelligence is not spiritual. Can't be spiritual because it's not created by God. It's human created. And it does the best that machines can do to create and recreate and create and recreate more and develop data systems that, insofar as humanly possible, are nearing 100% reliability informationally. But they do not have the spiritual component. They cannot have the spiritual component. They may talk religiously, but that's not spiritually. They can talk religiously in terms of information, but they cannot talk spiritually because they cannot comprehend it. It's not comprehensible by machines. Only human beings are given the creation ability to live spiritual lives. So that having been said, again, I'm so glad that you've joined us. And you may find this program here today to be quite fascinating. I have found it fascinating in preparation for the program. And quite frankly, I personally would like to have more information, but sometimes, please hear what I'm saying, sometimes we can get too much information. Sometimes too much information actually results in stagnation of our creative abilities and our spiritual abilities, and we replace the life that God would have for us to live, a spiritual life, replace it with a technological life or information. We just came out of what is called the information age, and now Klaus Schwab is calling us the intelligent age. But is the intelligence age actually making us more intelligent or less intelligent? It appears, as you listen to those who talk about the benefits of AI, that actually it's taking, the benefits are taking away the intelligence of the people who are supposed to be benefiting by AI. In other words, it's rendering us more and more unintelligent, unresponsive, maybe even lazy. Is that good? I wouldn't think so. So do we want to live in a totally mechanistic world? Do we want to live in a machine-oriented world, or do we want to live in the world that God created? You say, well, didn't God create us to have the ability to create technology and these kinds of things? Yes, but not everything that we have the ability to do is good. The Bible makes that very clear. Not everything that we have the ability to do is good. Some things that we have the ability to do can be good on the one hand, can be very devastating and damaging on the other. And we see those characteristics as we take a look at this matter of AI. Going on with this feature article in the latest issue of Time magazine, A Call for Global Cooperation in the Intelligent Age, written by Klaus Schwab, he says that one of the most striking aspects of recent years is how quickly AI has been embedded into everything around us. Now, we may not be aware of that. You, I may not be aware of how deeply embedded AI really is. I keep hearing more and more about how deeply embedded AI is in this and that and this and that, and I don't see it. Maybe you don't see it either. But the reality is that it's taking over behind the scenes in ways that you and I do not yet comprehend. Maybe we'll never comprehend. But we have significant responsibility, said Klaus Schwab, to one another to make sure that these developments do not do more harm than good. I would agree. So he says, make no mistake, we're at a critical juncture. We lack comprehensive framework to address the deeply interconnected challenges of our time. So where is all this going to lead? That's ultimately what we talk about here today on Viewpoint Today. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The World Economic Forum is gathered even at this moment in Davos, Switzerland, to talk about how to apply all of this modern intelligence or machine intelligence, all of this new information, all of this new artificial intelligence to our world and its difficulties and opportunities. In fact, they called the theme of this World Economic Forum gathering this year Collaboration for the Intelligent Age. Collaboration for the Intelligent Age. Now, I have to admit to you that as I watch our world, and have been watching our world ever since my birth at the end of World War II, I have not been finding the world to be more intelligent. More information, yes. More technological developments, yes. But more intelligent, no. Why is that? Because the foundation for all intelligence is wisdom. And when you renege on or reject the word of God and the fear of the Lord, you are necessarily rejecting the wisdom that is necessary for intelligence to function properly. And so in reality, you may have more information, you may have more technology, you may seem to have more intelligence, but the application of it is not what you would hope it to be. You can have products to sell that reveal all of the modern technology, and we all have many of those products. But the reality is, in terms of true overall human intelligence, it's not necessarily improving. We're missing some of the key links that God provided. One is the fear of the Lord, which is the foundation for all wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is the foundation for all understanding. So if we're not able to discern the difference between the holy and the profane, we're not getting more intelligent. We're actually, in the name of intelligence, becoming more and more derelict in our ultimate creative ability as human beings. Because it requires wisdom. And wisdom does not come from a machine. It only comes from God. When we are oriented in our minds and our hearts and our lives to His word, His will, and His ways, if we disconnect ourselves in whole or in part from the word and the will and the ways of God, we necessarily are going to end up in, shall we say, intelligent catastrophe. Now, that having been said, we're going to move forward and take a look at some of the benefits and detriments in general of artificial intelligence, which I want to repeat is not artificial insemination. That would be AI as well. It is artificial intelligence that comes from machines. So here we go. Anchor your seatbelt, my friends, and we're going to go into this in some measure of depth that hopefully anybody without technological experience would be able to understand at least the outlines of artificial intelligence, what it is, what its benefits are, and then we'll unfold some of those detriments. With all the hype around the artificial intelligence, like robots and self-driving cars, it can be easy to assume that AI doesn't impact our everyday lives. But in reality, most of us encounter artificial intelligence in some way or another almost daily. Now, these are words coming from simplylearn.com. Simplylearn.com called Advantages and Disadvantages of AI, written by Nikita Dugal. From the moment you wake up to check your smartphone, watching another Netflix recommended movie, AI has quickly made its way into our everyday lives. According to a study by Statista, the global AI market is set to grow up to 54% every single year from now on. Now that's unbelievable. But what exactly is AI? And will it serve mankind well in the future? There are tons of advantages and disadvantages to artificial intelligence. And even as I'm reading these distilled quotes from this very extensive article concerning advantages and disadvantages of AI, I'm reminded of the words of the book of Daniel. At the conclusion of the book of Daniel, It says this, knowledge shall be increased, and people will travel to and fro throughout the earth in ways that they never thought possible in the past. All of that requires modern technology and so on, airplanes, rockets, cars, and so on. But it says knowledge will be increased. So Klaus Schwab calls this the intelligent age or the intelligence age. That's about knowledge. It's about information. And AI is all about information. Now, information itself is not intelligence. From my perspective, intelligence is the ability to use information wisely, which requires wisdom. So knowledge itself is not sufficient. There are many people, well, not many, but many, there are some who have memorized the whole Bible. Memorized the whole Bible, but they're not biblically wise. They're not biblically intelligent. Yes, they know what the Bible says, but they're not biblically intelligent because they have no idea how what it's supposed to do, what it's supposed to imply, how it's supposed to function, because they're not spiritually minded. Now, we proceed on with this distilled positions with regard to this paper, Advantages and Disadvantages of AI. So let's understand what AI is in the first place. AI provides a computer program the ability to think and learn on its own. It is a simulation of human intelligence, therefore artificial, into machines to do things that we normally rely on humans to do. The abilities that AI provides enable machines to understand, reason, learn, and interact in a human-like manner. Not in a human manner, in a human-like manner. Hence, it's artificial intelligence, but not real intelligence. Because real intelligence would imply the totality of how God created man, human beings, to function. So artificial intelligence enables machines to learn from experience, to adapt new information, and provide tasks that typically require human intelligence. By leveraging these technologies, computers can be trained to perform specific tasks by analyzing vast amounts of data and identifying patterns within that data. Notice, we're still talking about information, data. Artificial intelligence provides numerous benefits, such as reducing human errors, time-saving capabilities, digital assistance, and unbiased decisions. However, the disadvantages include emotional intelligence, encouraging human laziness, and job displacement. So let me ask you a question. Digital assistance. Have you had the experience recently of calling on the phone to a particular company? And what do you get? Do you get someone answering the phone? No. What do you get? An artificially developed voice. It's not a human voice. It's one that is simulating a human voice. It's artificially intelligent. So does that artificial intelligence allow you to ask questions beyond what the specifics are that the voice on the other end limits you to asking? No. So generally speaking, you're going to have to go through maybe several minutes of back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and maybe you'll get to the place where if you click enough spots on your phone, you might just get to a place where you get to go to a real person with whom you can discuss the issue, even though you have requested over and over again, agent, 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 agent. Now, is that an improvement or not? Well, it depends on who you're talking about. Are you talking about the customer or are you talking about the business? The business is using that to avoid having to pay a person to do that job. But for the customer, it's nothing but irritating. So irritating that sometimes you might want to just take the receiver and slam the phone down. Right? Now, is that a benefit or is that a burden? Depends on your viewpoint. An AI program is capable of learning and thinking. It's possible to consider anything artificial intelligence if it consists of a program performing a task that we would generally assume a human would perform. And that's what's happening. So, let's take a look at some of the so-called benefits of AI. Reduction of human error is one. On the other hand, it can create other errors that are even worse because you don't recognize the errors because you believe that this thing is so intelligent that it can't make a mistake. Therein lies part of the problem. Decision making. One of the noted pros of artificial intelligence is decision making. AI enhances decision making by leveraging vast data to identify patterns and trends often invisible to humans. So machine learning algorithms can analyze historical data and predict future outcomes, allowing businesses and individuals to make informed decisions quickly and accurately. At least to the extent that the information and data that had been provided allows it to make that kind of decision. But it does not allow for nuances, only something that fits what has already been programmed. So it says that AI's ability to produce information or process information at high speeds reduces the time required for decision-making, thus providing a competitive advantage in dynamic environments. Dynamic environments? Oh, it's talking about business, making money. Or in the healthcare industry, doctors using AI to diagnose diseases. Well, I can understand how that could be very helpful. But then again, it's only effective to the extent that the information that's been input is totally accurate. And then again, it's not equipped to handle all nuances beyond the scope of that which has been input. So supposedly one of the benefits of AI is zero risk. I don't agree that there are zero risks, because the risks may be minimized, but they're not zero, because the AI is not capable of functioning like a human that can discern nuances that the AI is not capable of doing. Some people who are involved with AI, the technological gurus out there, might disagree with what I'm saying. But I think if they're really honest, they have to agree that ultimately machines are not totally accurate. Neither are humans. Supposedly, AI is capable of providing new inventions, driving numerous innovations in virtually every field that helps human beings tackle the most challenging issues of our time. Okay, I can certainly understand how it would be helpful, but maybe it would also prevent new inventions from coming about because AI is restricted to that the ideas or information that is input, thus anything new is not allowed. You can begin to see the problems. And unbiased decisions, there's no place for AI to have emotion. So how is it possible to truly have unbiased decisions?
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
AI is empowering us beyond the limitations of our natural human cognition, said Klaus Schwab in his piece to Time magazine on behalf of the World Economic Forum right now as we speak. Today we're talking about this matter of artificial intelligence, and we're looking at some of the pros, some of the cons, and so on. And, you know, it's kind of like for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So for every supposed benefit, there is on the other side, the flip side, that which is not so beneficial. It's offsetting to the benefit. For instance, the matter of bias and fairness. AI can help identify and mitigate bias in decision-making processes, promoting fairness and equality. By analyzing large data sets, AI can uncover patterns of bias and provide insights into how they affect outcomes. Additionally, AI algorithms can be designed to minimize biases, ensuring that decisions are based on objective criteria rather than subjective or discriminatory factors. On the contrary, though, that's not the real design. That's not the real desire for many people using AI. What they actually want to have is algorithms that help them to discriminate between different things. That's, in fact, one of the reasons they want to be able to create their own algorithms. So we've got a problem here. These algorithms, how are you going to design algorithms that are totally blind, shall we say, just as blind, unbiased, and fair? Well, then you've got to describe what is fair. How does a machine know what is fair? How do you program information into a machine to describe fairness in the most nuanced situations? They can try, but to say that it's totally unbiased is incomprehensible to me. They just want to believe that it's unbiased. But in fact, it has inherent biases. The inherent biases are due to the information that is input. And to whatever degree that input is coordinated and placed. So, some say that the AI calls for better decisions. By analyzing vast amounts of data quickly and accurately, identifying patterns and insights that might be missed by humans. I could agree with that. It enables businesses to make more informed, data-driven decisions, improving efficiency, reducing errors, and ultimately leading to better outcomes. But eliminating people. Is that a better outcome? Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. You see, viewpoint still determines destiny. Problem solving. AI technologies excel at recognizing patterns in large data sets and can be used to solve complex problems across various domains. Businesses and researchers can develop innovative solutions and improve decision-making processes by leveraging AI. I agree. Use it as a tool, not as the definitive end result. So let's take a look at the disadvantages of artificial intelligence, some of them anyway. We've already talked about creativity. Artificial intelligence lacks the intrinsic creativity of humans, which stems from emotional depth, abstract thinking, and imaginative processes. While AI can mimic creativity by generating art, music, or writing based on existing patterns, it doesn't possess genuine originality or the ability to think outside the box. Also, it does not contain any true spiritual component, because a machine is not spiritual. Only humans are created in the image of God, not machines. AI's creative outputs essentially recombine pre-existing data, limiting the capacity of true innovation. So while they say AI can advance innovation, actually, it can also limit innovation because it's not human. Humans alone have the true capacity for true innovation. Anything the machines have are taken from humans, not vice versa. How about emotional intelligence? The next disadvantage of AI is that it lacks emotional intelligence, as it involves recognizing and managing one's own emotions, as well as empathizing with others and handling interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. This limitation can hinder AI's effectiveness in roles requiring emotional sensitivity, such as counseling, human resources, or any field where interpersonal reactions are critical, including spiritual counseling, including talk about salvation. An AI voice can tell you what the facts of salvation are, but they cannot deal with the nuances, the spiritual aspect and nuances of salvation. Can't do it. How about encouraging human laziness? The increasing reliance on AI for tasks ranging from mundane chores to complex decision-making can lead to human laziness. As AI systems take over more responsibilities, individuals might become less inclined to develop their skills and knowledge. We don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to figure this out. Once computers came in and then kids had cell phones, guess what? They no longer know how to add and subtract. Really, they have to use their computer. They have to use their computer, they have to use their smartphone or whatever to add and subtract, to do the most mundane elementary arithmetic computations, because we've been reduced not to increased intelligence, but to laziness. AI systems often require vast amounts of data to function effectively, which can lead to significantly privacy concerns. Oh, personal data collection, storage, and analysis can be intrusive, exposing sensitive information without individuals' consent. Absolutely, it's happening everywhere. AI-driven surveillance systems. Oh, now we're starting to get into something that borders on, dare we say, prophecy. AI-driven surveillance systems and data mining practices can erode personal privacy, leading to potential misuse of data by corporations, governments, or cyber criminals. This is exactly what Bill Gates has in mind, friends. This is in line with the patent that he filed with the U.S. Patent Office. Where was it, in March of 2020, 2021? Some people call it the 666 patent. It's all about merging all information and data concerning your financial aspects with all of your medical aspects, everything about your person, into one piece of information, whether it's in a chip or whatever the form ultimately ends up being, so that government now can have all of that information at its disposal to control ultimately the flow of money, and of medical attention. You'll get what the government says you'll get. And it will all be based on AI, all be based on artificial intelligence that merges together all this information for government purposes. What government? The United States government? The Russian government? The Chinese government? No. The world government. Are you beginning to see the problem? That, my friends, is where this is going. So when Klaus Schwab says the geopolitical implications are profound, he ain't kidding. He ain't kidding. So for you English teachers, he isn't kidding. He's not kidding. They're profound. And nobody really wants to talk about them in those terms because the people will be scared off if they really knew what these so-called technological geniuses have in mind for controlling every aspect of our lives, which they call progress. They call it efficiency, saving time, accomplishing more, but at what cost? Another problem is, of course, job displacement. Jobs in manufacturing, retail, customer service, even specific professional sectors like legal research or medical diagnostics are increasingly becoming automated, leading to significant job displacement. I even discovered that on the internet just last night. I was looking up, researching a particular issue, and what I found was you can become a virtual lawyer. Yeah, you can become a virtual lawyer right on the web. So you're not going to need, why would you need a lawyer when you can become a virtual lawyer? Why would you need a doctor when you can become a virtual doctor? When you have Web Inc. or something, you have Lawyer Inc. or Law Inc. or Web MD. I mean, you all of these things you see are designed to replace people. Now, how many people are you going to replace? Maybe that's what Klaus Schwab meant when he said a couple of years ago that as things are moving forward toward the world government and the Great Reset, you'll own nothing and be happy about it. Maybe that's what he meant. What do you think? We'll be back after this, friends, to take a further look at where this is going prophetically. I hope you'll stay tuned. You're listening to Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Let's suppose, for discussion purposes, that we've gone so far in the development of AI, artificial intelligence, that we have developed a global speaker And I'm not talking about a electronic speaker kind of a thing where you plug it in and you play music through it or whatever. I'm talking about that which masquerades as a person. Now, that would blend other forms of technology together to whether it's holographic, whatever it happens to be. There are all kinds of terms for these things, to blend them all together so that the artificial intelligence behind it all will both speak and think and present itself in a fashion that would appear to be real to the world and would declare the purposes of the existing government that had been put into the digital format for that government. Now what you have is basically an artificially intelligent dictator. You have a manifestation of technological power and authority that nobody can resist, because it's presumed to be absolutely true, absolutely unbiased, absolutely free of error, absolutely absolute, and you will conform. Interestingly, in this article concerning AI, one of the downsides of AI is overdependence on technology. This dependence can reduce human skills and capabilities as individuals and organizations rely more on automated systems for decision-making and problem-solving, including making it difficult for users to understand or even question AI-driven decisions, potentially losing autonomy and control over the processes, including government itself. You lose control, you lose autonomy, because now you have somehow devolved human life into nothing but an algorithmic-driven machine. So you're completely under dictatorial control. So to use artificial intelligence, to allow it to become to that extent, which is almost impossible to prevent, by the way, you can see the tremendous risk that's involved. It's not an idle risk. In fact, Elon Musk came out a couple of years ago and said that it was an existential threat to humanity. And guess what? When I went to research that particular statement, they took it off the internet. That's right. They took it right off the internet. You couldn't access it. I thought, wow. For those that are marketing AI, that wasn't exactly something that they wanted to hear. So, there are ethical considerations. AI systems are only as good as the data they are trained on. So if the training data contains biases, the AI will likely perpetuate those biases. In fact, it will. AI systems often rely on vast amounts of personal data, raising significant privacy and data security concerns. Ethical considerations in this area include collecting only the data necessary for the AI system to function effectively, ensuring that personal data is anonymized to protect individuals' privacy, implementing strong security protocols to protect data from breaches and unauthorized access. But it's almost impossible. How many times do you hear of millions of people having their information revealed, digitally revealed, accidentally or even on purpose? It's happening every day almost. right? As AI systems become more advanced, questions about their moral agency and responsibility arise. Indeed, moral agency and responsibility. Now, if AI in its advanced form is under the dominion and control of a global government, which is the direction that Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum are going, declaring the Great Reset for 2030, the United Nations declaring the 2030 agenda, everything is moving toward 2030. That's 5 years from now. So what do they expect to happen? They expect a global government to come into form. That's where everything is moving. Now, it would appear with Donald Trump coming into office that he is offsetting a lot of that by his executive orders and so on. On the other hand, he's just bragged about bringing in a $500 billion investment into the United States to create more hyperventilated AI. Where is it all going? I've watched the advance of technology in many, many ways over my lifetime. From the time of my professional life as a lawyer, using my very first computer in 1981, I paid $4,000 for a used vector graphic computer and another $2,000 for a dot matrix printer, and had to build a cage around it just to keep it quiet enough to be able to function in the office. Then, a year later, my first fax machine, which is a roll of like almost like wax toilet paper, and then my first cell phone, which was in 1983, I believe it was, which was a Motorola brick, weighed 3.5, was it 5 pounds? Anyway, it was a huge thing. That was my first cell phone. It went through iteration after iteration of cell phones as they came down and down and down and down. My first cell phone in a vehicle was a Motorola. It cost me $1,800. And all it would do is make or receive telephone calls. That's it. So I see the advance of technology, and I see how it is used. I have used technology, but I also see how the kind of technology now that is being promoted is going beyond, beyond, beyond. And the reality is that an awful lot of viewers believe that's true, that it's going beyond, beyond, and it's going to be uncontrollable. And it will be used for nefarious purposes. First, it will be marketed for good purposes. So we went through advantages. But then it will be marketed for nefarious purposes, all in the name of how wonderful it's going to be, until it's too late. When a global government takes control under AI and massive surveillance, such as already moving forward in many of the countries of the world, including China, including the UK, including a few cities in the United States, there will be no place to go, no place to move. And then comes Revelation chapter 13, called the infamous Mark of the Beast, where a false prophet will come behind a secular government power and will portray that secular government power as spiritually authenticated, God-appointed, great, miracles performed, and then that false prophet will have this wonderful idea, basically using technology, to command every man, woman, and child on the planet to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, exactly what that mark will look like, we don't know. It could be a chip. It could, who knows what it would be like. Bill Gates already has conceived a lot of this in his patent. It was filed in March of 2020 or 2021 with the U.S. Patent Office. All those things are already underway. So, what should we do? Well, you can't stop all of the AI. You can hopefully try not to use some of it, but in some respects, you can't stop it all. These things are going to move on inexorably. The Bible says they will. So, what do we do? Well, first of all, you cannot depend on AI for your spiritual life. Some will try. Some will try to use AI for devotional purposes. Some will try to use AI for instructional purposes in the Christian faith. But ultimately, it will be lacking. It will be lacking the inherent spiritual component. It will be religious, but it will be lacking the inherent spiritual component, that which God has infused into humankind to communicate his heart, his desire, his word, his will, and his ways. And so people will be deceived. They will be massively deceived. The Bible says so. It's the number one characteristic of the end of the age, deception. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, many are going to come even in my name and deceive many. And then he said, you know what? This deception is going to be so great that if it were possible, even the very small remnant elect would be deceived. In other words, deception is going to be massive. And he was warning professing believers. He wasn't warning pagans. They were condemned already, Jesus said, John chapter 3. All the warnings of Scripture are to professing believers. And that's why, friends, we need to get serious about building our faith, trusting the Lord with our whole heart, leaning not to our own understanding and all the proliferation of quasi-understanding coming in the name of the information or intelligence age. Intelligence is more than knowledge. Knowledge and information will be increased, but not wisdom and not understanding. God calls us to understand wisdom and understanding. Pursue that with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Seek the Lord with a whole heart. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. We need to understand that. No matter how smart we think we get as human beings, we're never as smart as God. Do not allow technology to become your God. Get a copy of my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. That figure is coming. He will use technology in the ways that it's now being developed. Get a copy of the book. $18 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. I think it's $18. Maybe it's $20. Yeah, $20 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Add $6 for postage and handling. Antichrist, how to identify the coming imposter. God bless. Be a blessing. And remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not technology.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.